Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled Classmates. We like to, first of all, to thank our brothers and sisters from many different parts of the country. We have a wonderful people from Hawaii, from Los Angeles, sometimes from Colorado, from Texas, even from Florida, Washington State. We have people from the South, from the North, participating with us. I hope today God will bless us as we worship together. Would you please bow your heads for a prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, allow us at this moment to listen. Allow us to be taught. Allow us to be willing to learn. Allow us to have the courage to practice everything that you teach us. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ we ask, Lord. Amen. Yes, what is a classmate? Of course, the reason why we chose this topic is because the students are going back to class. And once again, for them, the word classmate may be becoming a daily thing. For a moment, because of the pandemic, they were separated from their classmates, and they have to create a new situation where their own siblings became their classmates. The teachers became their own parents again, and the supervisors, and some had their classes on computer, online. And some still do. So we decide to name the message today, the classmates. But let's redefine what classmates really is, or classmate really is. So what is a classmate? If we look in a good dictionary, the answer is very simple. A classmate is a member of the same class in a school, or college, or university. Of course, a classmate is more than that. But we will address that later. What about a mate? I don't know how many of you, when you hear Australian talk, they use the word mate a lot. So it's very easy for them to understand what a mate means. A mate is a fellow member or a joint occupant of a specified place or thing. So somebody who shares a place with you is your fellow, as a fellow member. So we have words like a school fellow, schoolmate, associate, companion, compatriot, a fellow, a mate, a running mate, a housemate, a play fellow, a roommate, a shipmate, a teammate, a colleague, a co-worker, an equal, a peer, workmate, a partner, affiliate, and the list goes on. A buddy, a friend, a countryman. All those words are related to the fact that you are a mate. At birth, the birth of learning, when we think about the word classmate, we think about a place where we learn. So let me ask you this. Do you understand how does the birth of learning start? First, there was the first acquisition of knowledge. How this happens. When we are created, even before we are born, our brain is programmed with is imprinted with a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. For example, even before we're born, as our brain developed, it creates hundreds and if not thousands of information that will control the function of the body. Even, again, as I said, even before the person is born, all that is already imprinted in our mind. Of course, the Bible even tells us that the will of God, the law of God, is imprinted in our heart by birth. So we are born with some information already in our mind. We are born to be spiritual. We are born to be social. those things are already imprinted in our, that's a knowledge that we are already born with. It's part of our DNA. So that's the first acquisition of knowledge, is God-given knowledge that we receive. And what are our first classmates? Some people think about classmates when they go to school, but they don't realize that the first classmates that they have actually is their siblings, because home is the first school that they attend. And their parents are their first teachers. That's why the commandment, the fifth commandment, says that we should honor our teachers, our parents. We should respect, obey them, because they are our first teachers. And of course, if we have brothers and sisters, we also learn from them. A classmate always learns from another classmate. That is a fact of life. So our first school actually is a home school, or a school at home. But then we actually move to another school before we go to the what we call today school. We go to another place we call church. Church is also a school. Every member, every person present is your classmate or your roommate or your mate. A fellow. That's where the word fellowship comes from. Is where the people that we share something in common. Not only the learning, the teaching, but also the experience of friendship. That takes place at the church. And then comes the what we call the typical school, where we also attend. And why the word classmate? Because even though a school have many classes, this is talk about the place where you are. And those that share the same room and share the same purpose and the same learning experience, that's what is a classmate. Some of us have wonderful memories of people that we met in a school and became our friends forever. Some even became spouses. Some people they said, "Oh, I met my wife in a high school, or I met my in a kinder. I mean, not kinder, in a private school." In other words, some people sometimes develop such a good friendship and sometimes a permanent relationship. You have all heard, it's very common, hear people say, "Oh, I have my class reunion," and some people go celebrating those reunions for many, many years after. They're no longer in the same class. Yes, the first school that it ever was established, as we was mentioned in the Sabbath school lesson this morning, the first school actually was paradise. Let's go back to Genesis. When you look in Genesis, the account of the creation, God created man, and it says that man was not good for man to be alone. He need a mate. So God create Eve. At that time he called both of them Adam, male and female. And then, of course, God create a school for them, a home, paradise. And that's where they started getting their first lessons. And God himself was their teacher. But one day, an intruder came to school, the schoolyard, and came and brought something to try to distract those two students, the two classmates, and to do something that was not properly to be done. And that jeopardized their long stay at that school. And they were asked to leave this school. Because the choice, the bad choice they made. Today is not any different. How many times you have a classmate and then you realize that the classmate is no longer coming to school and you try to figure out, oh, that person was expelled from the school because they made some bad choices. Yes. There's nothing new under the sun, like the Bible says. As was in the beginning, it keeps repeating throughout history. Sometimes people are in school, and instead of using that quality time to learn something good, they get in a process, what I like to call, this is my own creation, I like to call unlearning. Because good things are learning, something that you can use for the rest of your life, for eternity, is when you learn something. But when you put something negative in your life, a bad knowledge is an unlearning, is destructive knowledge. And that happens. Learning, I found this in a, was published, something that was published in April 2, 1992. Somebody said, learning usually passed through three stages. First, it says, in the beginning, you learn the right answers. In the second stage, you learn the right questions. In the third and final stage of your life, you learn which questions are really worth asking. And that's really how true knowledge is. There was once somebody, the source is unknown, but somebody stated that how do we learn things in life? It says 1% it comes through our taste. 1.5% come through touch. 3.5% comes through smell. 11% comes through hearing. And 83% through sight. Yes, of course, we have no way to prove that, but that's what has been published and somebody agreed. A Chinese proverb says this, tell me and I will forget. Show me and I may remember. But involve me and I will understand. Now, as we put in our bulletin cover, I don't know if you noticed, but we put life lessons. I like to suggest to everyone that there is no life without learning. There is no learning without life. Life and learning is something that it will exist together or will not exist at all. Every living creature learns. And that's part of life. That's part of living. And our learning will never end if your life never ends. Eternal life means eternal learning. So learning and life never ends. The people who learns less or make less effort to learn in life is the one who is making effort to live less. The more you are driven to learn, the more your life becomes more meaningful. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, New Living Translation says, direct your children unto the right path, and when they are old, they will not leave it. Because once that you acquire good knowledge, that only defines you, but carries you through the path in life. Proverbs 1 verse 7, New Century Version says, knowledge begins with respect for the Lord, but fools hate wisdom and discipline. Now, you know what wisdom is and discipline. Discipline here in a means of instruction. Knowledge begins with when you respect the Lord, when you, some version says fear the Lord, but not a fear in the sense of to be afraid of, but a respect. That's why I like the New Century Version in this verse. But it says, fools hate wisdom because wisdom comes from the Lord. And they hate instruction as well. Proverbs 19, verse 20, New Living Translation, it says, get all the advice and instruction you can. Yes, don't spend time in school wasting your time, allowing yourself to be distracted. There will be always a classmate that will try to turn your attention to something else, to distract you from acquiring instruction. The same thing in church, the same thing in every aspect of life. There will be always somebody to try to distract you from being committed to get all the instruction you can. And the verse continues by saying, so you will be wise the rest of your life, forever, if you embrace eternity as God has promised to give you. Proverbs 10, verse 17, New Century Version says, whoever accepts correction is on the way to life. But whoever ignores correction will lead others away from life as well. Proverbs 3, verse 5, New Century Version, trust the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, because it originally means mind. In other words, surrender your mind to the Lord. And don't depend on your own understanding, because that's foolishness. So surrender your mind to God and let God work in you. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, New Living Translation. It tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God. Yes, that's God's instruction. And it's useful to teach us about what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Praise God for that. I remember I mentioned to you many times, my life was turned around when somebody put a Bible in my hand and says, this will change your life. It did. And will change yours as well. But by the way, if you put your Bible in your briefcase and your Bible stays there for months without being checked, or if you put in a nice bookcase, the Bible needs to be in your heart. The inspiration of God needs to be with you. Remember to get inspired before you get expired. Yes, let me repeat. It is better to get inspired before you get expired. Take the time with the Scripture. Let the Lord teach you to become your teacher. Proverbs 24, verse 5, New Century Version says, wise people have great power. Oh, yes. And those with knowledge have great strength. Now let me address the second part of the word classmate, the mate. A British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a mate, of a friend. Among the thousands of people that answered the survey, here are just few examples. One person says, one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is unbreakable. Another one, it says, one who understands our silence. That's what really a mate is, a friend. Another one says, a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. And here's the winning one. A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world turns their back on you. Proverbs 27, verse 17, New Living Translation says, as iron shapes iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. For better or for worse, that can be applied both ways. So that's why it's good to have good friends, wise friends. So we become as wise as they are. Proverbs 27, verse 9, New Century Version says, the sweet smell of perfume and oils is pleasant, and so is a good advice from a friend. Also in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 26, New Century Version, good people take advice from their friends, but an evil person is easy led to do wrong. Oh, brothers and sisters, I wish, if you're a parent, I wish you can take notes of those Bible verses and give them to your children. Read them with your children. Don't just give to them. Read them with your children. They are very powerful. They are wisdom that the Lord has in His words. And the young people as well as the not so young, we must read and ponder on the details that these verses are teaching us. Proverbs 27 verse 6, New Living Translation says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Oh, how true that is. If you send me an email, I'll be glad to send those text, Bible texts to all of you in the version that we have. If you are a parent or if you're a young person, listen to this message. If you want to receive this, just text me. Send me an email, and I will send a PDF copy of those texts to you. Okay? Proverbs 17:17, New Century Version, a friend loves you all the time, and a brother helps in time of trouble. Luke 6:31, in a common English Bible, there is this advice for us to treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. That's a golden rule. That's exactly what happens. As what you give is what you receive. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10, New Living Translation. It says, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. And here is a very good point. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble because nobody's there to lift them up. So it's good to have a real mate, a real friend in life. Proverbs 16, verse 28, also in the Common English Bible, it says, destructive people produce conflict. Gossip alienate close friends. Yes, please be careful. Don't be close to destructive people because they produce conflict. They enjoy conflict. That's the nature of evil. That's what they produce. And gossip alienate even close friends. So don't let your friendship be destroyed by those that have a destructive behavior. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, in a New Century Version, our scripture says, do not be fooled. Yes, do not be fooled, because bad friends will ruin good habits. A bad friend can destroy your own character, your own reputation. So be careful. Select well who you want to be your mate, your friend. Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25, in Common English Bible as well, it says, don't befriend people controlled by anger. Wow, what a beautiful advice, brothers and sisters. If you are around people that are getting smoke coming out of their ears all the time, or their mouth for that matter, get away, because that's not good air for you to be breathing. Get away. Stay away from them. It says, don't associate with hot-tempered people. In verse 25, otherwise you will learn their ways and become trapped. Oh, I like to read this again. Young people, listen. Listen to the wisdom of Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. Don't befriend people controlled by anger. Yes, again, I will say, if they are smoking through their ears, they are smoking through their mouth, get out of the way. Don't associate with them. That will be a trap for you. Proverbs 14, verse 6 and 7, New Century Version says, those who make fun of wisdom look for it and do not find it. But knowledge comes easy to those with understanding. Again, verse 7 says, stay away from fools, because they can teach you anything, or they can teach you bad things, which is, remember what I said to you, is unlearning. Instead of putting something in, they will be taking something out of you. Proverbs 13, verse 20, New Living Translation, walk with the wise. Let me repeat, walk with the wise and become wise yourself. associated with fools. And guess what? You'll be in trouble. All you're going to get is trouble. John 15, verse 13 to 17. Here are the words of our Master Jesus Christ, our teacher. A New Central Version, he says, verse 13, the greatest love a person can show is to die for his friends. Do you know that many military even use this expression? They do it. It says, a greatest love a person can show is to die for their friends. You know, those when soldiers, they have this friendship that is sometimes even greater than they have with their own siblings. You know, because that fellowship that they have, that bond that they have, because they are willing to put their lives at risk in order to protect their own friends. And so Jesus Christ said this, and then verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friends, because I have made known to you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I gave you this work to go and produce fruit. Fruit that you will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, what is really a true bait? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, in a common English Bible, Paul says this to the Thessalonians, and the Holy Spirit is telling you this morning. So continue encouraging each other and building each other up, just like you are doing already. Yes, to your church mate, your fellow church member, to your classmate in the school, to your siblings at home, as you go out to eat, as you go out to a restaurant, as you go out to do some business with other people, in whatever you choose to do, make sure that whatever you do is to build other people's up. People who builds other people up always go up. People that try to bring other people down is because they are already down themselves. So don't pay too much attention to those that wants to bring you down, but associate yourselves with those that are building you up. And please be part of the building group. People that are always building something instead of being destroying, bring things down. In Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus Christ says to you today, for where there's two or three gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them as well. It's like Jesus Christ saying to you, if there is two fellow mates together, I'll be a mate, I'll be part, I'll be there as well. Having that in mind, here's a counsel from Apostle Paul as he wrote in a book of Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, and it's very appropriate for this day, for this time. New Central Version says like this, let us think about each other and help each other to show love and to do good deeds. You should not stay away from church meetings, as some are doing, not attending prayer meeting, not attending the conference, teleconference services, not participating at all, not giving, not showing up. Oh, I'm sorry, this is not part of the verse, is it? Oh, the verse says, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Yes, we are church mates. We are classmates. We are mates. We are friends. And according to Jesus Christ, we are to be friends forever. So he says, do this even more as you see the day coming. And finally, let me illustrate with a true story. Jackie Robinson. I don't know how many of you know who Jackie Robinson was. He became extremely important because the courage that he showed when he became the first Afro-American to play Major League Baseball. He put on his Dodger uniform when the Dodger was not even in LA yet, was in Brooklyn. And then he, you know, what is unique with what he was doing is because he was the one who became the first. So he faced mocking crowds in every single game that he attended, every stadium that he attended. The things that he heard, the things that people threw at him. One day he was playing in his home stadium in Brooklyn. He committed an error. The unforgiving fans, his own fans, the fan of his own team, began to ridicule him. He stood at the second base with his head down, humiliated, while the fans booed him over and over and over again. Then a teammate, a shortstop by name Pee Wee Reese, came over and he stood next to him. He put his arm around Jack Robinson and faced the crowd at that name, the crowd. The fans looking at that picture, they grew quiet. Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. That moment changed his life forever. The life of his family as well, his children. Brothers and sisters, there's a friend that wants to put his arm in your shoulder. There's a friend that wants to be part of your life. Remember when the world was completely controlled by evil. He decided to put on our uniform and come and to be a mate to us. Today he wants to put his arm in your shoulders and let you know that your life also can be changed forever. Don't worry about the noise that other people may make as we come close and close to the end. The good will be ridiculed. The good will be persecuted. Friends will leave. Family members will betray us. People from our own faith may betray us, as they did to Jesus Christ. But don't forget, that friend will be standing by you. And his hands will be in your shoulder, showing you the path to eternal life. Learn from him. Accept him as your mate. May God bless you. And may this moment today be the moment that your life is changed forever. God bless you.